Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shildon.
And I'm Tara Fraser. And today on the show is me and my mums.
Steph's been catching up with Sian and Sam.
And LGBT books.
We're going to be reviewing the top 10.
All that and more.
Coming today, right here on Shout Out. Hello, one and all.
Hello.
Good evening. Good evening.
What's wrong?
You're moving around like prints. You've got ants in your pants. Yeah.
Lost for words? Don't understand.
No,
it's
my job. I'm now 40. Yes.
Oh. Okay. Fair enough.
No sympathy.
Ironically, I think I'm still the youngest here, aren't I? Am I?
Yes.
Am I?
By some considerable margin in my case, anyway.
Even worse in my case.
Well, I don't want to speak for anybody else.
I wasn't going to say
anything.
How was it anyway?
How was your party?
It was really, really good fun.
Did you have fun? So, good. Life begins at 40, they say, don't they?
We went across
not
to
Andy's.
The...
Steffi now, so, come
am
on.
Am I allowed to have midlife crisis now and go buy a sports car or something?
Yeah.
Is that how it works? And trade in your partner for a younger model.
Oh, right.
Cool.
Don't say that. He listens.
Bye, Carol. Nice knowing you, love.
Sell the car before
that'll be another hashtag. I can't believe Steph said that. Well, that was actually Terry that said that one, wasn't it? So now, Sense 8. I haven't watched a single one yet, but
you need a slap for that.
I know. Yeah, I do try. I genuinely have tried to watch it. I've watched the first 15 minutes of episode one about 4 times and keep getting distracted. So.
Yeah, well,
but it's supposed to be really good because it's got an awful lot of kind of LGBT plus content in it, hasn't it?
What a queer.
Well, especially the two people that actually put it together, the Vitraskas.
Yeah. Yes.
What's the chances of having two trans women in the same family?
Well, it happens because it did there.
Does that really apply, Stephanie?
What does apply?
What, runs in the family?
Yes, does it?
I don't know. It just seems odd to me.
Because I know some of my friends, I'm talking more from a gay perspective here. I have some friends and they have brothers who are straight, and I know a few families where there's 4 brothers and all of them are gay.
Really?
Yeah. I think research and all of that is sort of very much in its infancy. Yeah. It's very contradictory as well.
Unless it's contagious.
Do we have to pathologise everything though? Do we have to really understand? Just not
that's
accept
a very good point.
Things.
No, that's my whole issue about this whole thing.
It's probably a viral thing.
It's a viral infection. Trans and gay.
Oh yeah. Well, that's and it all comes with superpowers, doesn't it?
Control of the weather.
Oh, if trans typhoons.
It would be a lot warmer right now if I could control the weather. It's nice and sunny, but it's bloody freezing, isn't it?
That's
It is at the moment.
The air conditioner's
on. Yes, my nipples are all hard.
Too much information.
It's blowing straight at me.
That was definitely a hashtag. I can't believe you said that. Even I can't believe you just said that.
How do you top that? Well.
I think we can top it by Back to Sense 8.
Yeah.
Which has got a feature length two-hour finale, I believe.
It was cancelled after season 2. And there was so much of a furore that Netflix capitulated, and we've got a two-hour end.
Was it not one of the most expensive ever made?
It was.
Netflix, so that's why it was probably cold.
It went around the planet.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I have to admit, because the most recent big hit has been Lost in Space, isn't it? And
love
I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Not as camp as the first one.
No. The Doctor is female in this, and she's actually quite scary, isn't she?
So's the robot. The robot's quite dark as well.
Yes. So apologies if you're listening and you don't have Netflix.
So it's more of a re-envisioning of Lost in Space rather than a direct copy of the 60s
version. Well, they get Lost in Space, I guess that's
that's your link.
Is it not just that the Robinson family being stuck on an island? Is it not just a rehash? That's what I saw when I was watching. I was thinking, this is just, updated into a sci-fi
basis.
But it
is nice when they take an old classic and they actually do a good job of revamping it.
Hmm. Well, they got the money, haven't they, now?
Speaking of which, yes. I have got a song later in the show, which is a revamp.
Oh, yes. Mama Cass did it, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Make your own kind of music. Yeah. Yeah. Paloma Faith has just redone it.
It is a good version. I'm not one that usually likes the reboots. I prefer the originals usually, especially when it comes from the 60s.
That's because you remember them the first time round.
Careful, careful.
You know? Now, look, we're running over, so should we get some events?
Let's do that.
Of course, we normally have my five in this section, but once a month we're still doing the event. So,
yep, last Thursday of the month.
Looking forward to the next month, I believe. Is it? What have we got this month?
We've got, for Weston-super-Mare, New Beginnings, between the 10th and the 12th, we've got a tabletop sale in the Reunited Reform Church. Nay, LGBT in the church.
Excellent.
Yeah. Every second Saturday of the month, 2 p.m. to 4:30. After that is LGBT plus social gathering over at the YMCA Cafe next to Grove Park. Afternoon tea. Hey, and of course Grove Park is where Weston-super-Mare Pride is going to be taking place. That's July the 28th. This year is going to be the 28th and the 29th.
Fabulous.
We're going to be live on the 28th.
Hopefully.
No, we will be.
We will be.
Depends if we can connect the cables up.
Just running a long extension lead from Bristol.
All the way down the...
yeah, down the hard shoulder of the M5. Yes.
Stuck with the 77s. It's...
Can I continue now without any interruption?
Sorry, yeah.
Gag him, Tara. You got any duct tape?
No.
Arnold Feeney, we've got David Hoyle performing Diamond. This is this Saturday, 28th, from 8 till 10 o'clock. It's between 16 and 14 quid, and you can book through the Arnold Feeney website. The Guardian says, gloriously bad taste, extremely funny, and properly unique. Diamond is an unforgiving queer performance of sexuality and British culture, exploring LGBT history from 1957. Whoa! Still after I was born. To 2018 through the personal biography. Yeah. And avant-garde performer David Hoyle. Weaving together intimate personal accounts and landmark events, Diamond charts David's rise from gay adolescent in Blackpool, or should I say Blackpool, through famous Channel 4 anti-drag queen cult phenomenon, Divine David, to the performer he is today. The show is a celebration of survival against overwhelming odds. We have LGBT history. We are proud of it, says David. Revisiting landmark events such as the Wolfenden Report, the decriminalisation of homosexuality, the repeal of Section 28, and the lives of prominent gay figures such as Alan Turing. And more recent LGBT plus political activists, Diamond offers moments of reflection and insights into his history and ongoing struggle for equality.
I can remember when David Hoyle was the Divine David on a late night show on Channel 4, and it was absolutely scintillating. It was compulsory viewing, so that's going to be absolutely brilliant night.
So that's it.
Cool. Thank you very much, Steph. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, no, I like that one. What do you think of that, Tara?
I love it. Yeah.
That's Thunder by
Thunder.
Yeah.
Thunder.
That's not me.
Thunder.
Oh, get your Zimmerfree back.
That's Imagine Dragons' latest hit. That's quite cool. I really like that. So, anyway, hello, Mitch and Matthew.
Hello. Hello. I don't think I can hear myself. Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, yes.
Perfectly.
Yes.
That's okay then, because I can't hear myself.
Sorry, we're swapping things around just because I made a little bit of a mistake.
Not a problem, the news is here, I'm ready to go.
You are stars, so. Right, should we get some news headlines?
Indeed.
Yes.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 26th of April.
In Canada, the adventures of a porcine named Esther has been turned into a book. Esther, the amazing pig, has two dads, Steve and Derek. And according to the Advocate paper, their blogs about Esther's adventures on the vegan ranch they run as a sanctuary for farm animals have earned hundreds of thousands of fans. The book, The True Adventures of Esther the Wonder Pig, describes for children and adults how Steve and Derek adopted Esther in 2012, thinking she was a micro pig, but realised with incredulity that she would grow into be a full-scale pig. It contains heartwarming messages of tolerance and compassion for animals.
A new hyperandrogenism rule has been announced by the World Athletics governing body, the IAAF. Hyperandrogenic women have naturally occurring higher levels of testosterone, which is deemed by the governing body to give them an unfair advantage in races, particularly in middle distance disciplines. Under the new rules, the IAAF will allow them to compete at international level only if they took medication to reduce their levels of testosterone to within an agreed limit. The new regulations will also see an additional female classification being introduced, which will be known as an athlete with differences of sexual development, or DSD. Whilst the decision is likely to be controversial in some quarters, the IAAF insists that scientific evidence and consensus backs up its decision. It also said that it wishes the sport of athletics to be as inclusive as possible, adding that it seeks to place conditions on such participation only to the extent necessary to ensure fair and meaningful competition.
A lesbian couple from Stockport have finally managed to get supermarket chain Tesco to make some investigations, some weeks after one of their staff, who is apparently a Christian fundamentalist, subjected them to a bizarre and rude interrogation about their relationship. Leanne and Faye Lever told Pink News that the checkout operator, called Maxwell, at the local branch of the store questioned them about their relationship and told them that he alone knew what God wanted. It took the couple posting a Facebook and gaining interest from the gay press for the chain to start an internal investigation. A spokesperson for Tesco said that everyone is welcome at our stores and we will take appropriate action.
Lawyers acting for singer and veteran pop star Sir Cliff Richard have asked for what is described as significant damages from the BBC. The news channel in 2014 filmed a raid on the singer's British residency as part of historical sexual abuse allegations. However, no arrests were made and no charges were ever brought. Sir Cliff shares his life with a Catholic priest, and although he's always dodged media speculation on his own sexuality, he did tell a Christian radio station that it was about time the church recognised the contribution to its life made by gay and bisexual Christians. Ian Dale, a columnist in magazine Attitude, cited Sir Cliff's treatment by the police in an article arguing that Operation U-Tree into historical abuse was indulging in homophobic fantasies by targeting people such as Sir Cliff and broadcasting Pastor Paul Gambaccini.
The new issue of trade union magazine Unison Activist runs a guide to using pronouns in an inclusive and trans-friendly manner. They said before a baby is even ready to be born, people are trying to put it into a binary gender, each with a whole set of assumptions about who and how that person will be.
A fundamentalist religious teacher employed by an academy in Bristol has lost her legal challenge to her dismissal for making obscene religious and homophobic remarks. The woman attacked other denominations of Christianity before turning on a young student who identified as lesbian, telling her that she would roast in hell if she did not obey the woman. She told students that as a teacher, her views were always correct and everyone else was wrong. After her dismissal, she attempted a legal battle, but was turned down with a sharp ruling by magistrates who noted her unsuitability for teaching. A spokesperson for Humanist UK, which represents people of no faith in the UK, welcomed the ruling and noted that the woman had tried to portray herself as a victim when in fact she was a perpetrator of bigotry and intolerance. LGBT groups also gave the ruling a warm welcome.
BBC Radio 1 and LGBT station Gaydio have reported that internationally acclaimed dance music DJ Avicii, whose birth name was Tim Berling, has passed away at the young age of 28. His tracks were staples of dance floors across Europe and in the radio airplay, the best known of which is called Levels. Avicii had been suffering from pancreatitis for some considerable time, and although he had withdrawn from live performances, he continued to produce material in the studio.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Michelle Graham-McMorrow
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Paloma Faith and Make Your Own Kind of Music.
Really
I do like that a lot, yeah. I was a real fan, well, I still am a real fan of the Mummers and Puppers.
Right. I'm not keen on Paloma Faith, but that was quite good, actually.
Oh, I quite like Paloma Faith. She does she does have some that are a bit naff, but she's got some very good ones.
I guess
well.
Some people are better singing than actually talking. I think she's one of those.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but her music's really nice. I do like her music. She's got quite a powerful voice, isn't she?
Yeah.
But normally you get some remixes that they do to re-release of older songs, and they can be quite bad. And I think that is a really good job of that one. So.
You can always go and listen to the original.
Yeah, you might be listening and disagree. Let us know. Always up for a debate. So, anyway, now Steph's been off on her travels, as always. She just likes to jet around in her little car. And she's been off to catch up with some friends of ours. You may remember we've been kind of following the life of lovely little baby Harriet, who's now two, and her two mums, Sian and Sam. So have a listen to this.
Well, the weather is absolutely superb. We're looking at sunny and 22 degrees. We're sat in a restaurant by a lake with ducks. And I bumped into our shout-out family, Sam, Shan, and little baby Harriet. And I cannot believe this, that she's coming up to 2 years old.
Yeah, she's, 20 months, but you just tell people she's two in August. You go for months, you have to try and count it out, don't you? Just two.
Is she okay? Is she starting to sort of put sentences together? And
oh yeah, you can understand. I can understand her more, I think, than what you can, because I'm with her all day, and I think other people sort of think she's saying stuff, but obviously I can understand what she's saying.
How's the Bristolian accent going with her?
She knows lush. Things are lush.
Are you okay with the Bristolian accent?
I embrace it. Yeah, I do. I get laughed at work because I sometimes come out with West Country sayings. So
already.
I've always lived it. I've lived over that way, haven't I? So it's brushed off on me a little bit. So it's gonna inevitably brush off on Harriet, I think.
So is she at any type of schooling yet?
No, I didn't want her going. We didn't want to go into nursery, not yet, not when you could be paying someone to look after your child or you could do it yourself. So we're lucky enough to be in a situation that Sam works full time, which is good. Do you know what I mean? Some mornings you go off to work and you could really do with being home with her, and then I stay home with her and we sort of like swap around. So we have a bit more of a plan. She has like a schedule week by week. We don't just wake up and decide what we're doing. She goes to certain baby clubs. She does baby basketball. She starts dance lessons.
Oh, what's that? Baby basketball?
Oh, she's not like Michael Jordan. She's she sort of does a they have like little balance beams. They walk along a lot of basketballs, trying to get them to do like hand eye coordination, like bouncing balls and stuff, and sort of going in and out little cones and stuff like that. And the little basketball hoops are not very high; they're like 2 foot off the ground. But
I see you can reach them as well.
I can. Slam dunk. Yeah, it's good.
Anything else she's doing?
We do like an arts and crafts morning. There's a couple of like, I'm not sure if it's the same all over, but in Kent it's a Sure Start, sort of like ones that are automatically done by sort of local boroughs and councils. So there is a lot of like free stuff, and then a lot of the activities you've got to like, you pay for. So we do like a bit of a mix. So like certain things like singing and rhyme time at the local library, do you know what I mean?
It's a really hard age to try and find things to do, because until they get to two, a lot of places don't accommodate for younger babies to do activities. And Sharma's really struggling to find different activities. So we spent a good few hours looking at all the different places and all their websites and timetables and stuff, and tried to pull it together so that actually we could really focus on what she was going to do each day, because it's hard to plan when you don't know where you're going to go for the day. So yeah, it's something that's really worked well for us.
Do you miss, because obviously you're back to work now, do you miss the interaction that Shan's getting with little Harriet?
I get every Tuesday and every other weekend, so I'm not completely missing out, you know. So we do get some one-to-one time as well.
And I guess nice. You pack in at the weekend, yeah?
Yeah, we try. Yeah, we definitely try.
Well, this nice weather's helping, isn't it? This is really lush. So as well as, do you actually meet up with other mums and compare notes?
Compare notes. Yeah, there's a really great app called Mush, which is kind of like, the only way I can describe it is kind of like Tinder for mums. So you sort of
I like the analogy.
So it's, anyway, it's like mum dating. So you meet other mums. So you sort of almost tick the tags of what you do, like your parents and style and stuff like that. And then it matches you with other mums with kids the same sort of age and this, like the other. So we've just come back from Holland, haven't we? With a woman that I met last year. She's got a kid that's the same age as Harriet. Well, like 2 weeks in it. And we go on holiday together. But I've just met another gay mum. So she's got a child, but only 4 weeks old, and she didn't know any of her mums locally. And we got matched because we were both ticked the LGBT tag on our thing. So it sort of matched us up together. I love it in the background. She's crashing with her little pram into the... Do you want to say hello, Harriet? Can you say hi? Nope.
Just disappeared the other side of the restaurant. And she's trying to crash through the glass. So is that working okay, meeting other people like that? Do you find it quite inspiring and helpful? That
I think it is, but when you meet someone that's got a child younger than yours, they look at you like almost like, oh, how did you do that? How did you do that? You're like, I haven't got a clue. I blagged it the whole way through. I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. And some days we get to the end of the day, we high-five and think, oh, my God, we've made it through the day. So, but people think if you've got yourself out of the house, you're dressed and you're all together, you're like, right, you're doing really well. As we're like, no, just sometimes we barely break through, don't we? And other days are a lot easier.
Do you meet up with straight mums? And is, if so, is that all okay? Does it run smoothly?
Yes, if we're honest, ones that we went on holiday with, a straight family. Yeah, I think it doesn't really matter. You know, I think both... we're quite open, aren't we?
I wasn't thinking more. Yeah. I was thinking more of the others, the acceptance of some mums, because we hear some stories about certain families thinking that there should be sort of different genders involved with bringing up kids.
No, we live in a really quite small village, and we go to a toddler group every week, and I don't think it matters. No one looks at us any different. The only difference is, I think, is that most of the other mums and dads and whoever else is there, grandparents, they normally come singly with one child, whereas we always go together with our child. So I think that's probably the only difference, really. But
and I think we play. I think, do you know what I mean? Most of the other mums that go tend to sort of hover around one end. They put their kids down to play and it's their time to get a coffee and have a thingy, as where we do just go and play. We sit on the mini chairs and play with Play-Doh and push the thing. I'm not saying no other mums do, but I'm quite happy to get in there and, I mean, give it a go, isn't it, and just play with them.
Do you miss Bristol at all, Sean?
I did, actually. Come Christmas, so when it got to Christmas, I think the last time we did an interview was when we come back, I said to Sam, I really miss it. I felt really homesick. So this year, I've made a plan that I would go down every month. So Sam always works Wednesdays and Thursdays, so she's not going to miss nothing if I'm away. So I leave sort of Tuesday when it's Harriet's bedtime. I would drive down, stay with my mum. She always has Wednesday and Thursday off work, so we have a bit of, like, she can see her nan, she sees her granddad, and my sister still lives at home, so she's like, she sees her Auntie Jojo, and then...
That's a really good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we head back Thursday, so Sam gets... You work quite a bit, it's a bit busy Thursdays for you, isn't it? So it's kind of good for you to have a little bit of downtime.
Yeah, and I get 2 really good nights' sleep.
That's always a plus.
She's up all night, she is, for the baby, yeah.
Now, you live in a really nice area and close to the beach and that, so do you find that, because obviously Bristol's got a harbour but it hasn't got beaches, not like Kent, it's surrounded with really nice beaches. do you get Harriet out a lot on the sand and in the water?
Last year, she absolutely had a head fit. Sand or anything like that. When the cream, she used to get sand stuck to her hands, and she really couldn't deal with being messy or being dirty at all. So,
oh, really? Sand, that's unusual for her.
Absolutely, like, it was ridiculous, wasn't it? So we had to start literally from scratch. We tried, like, shaving foam in the bath. So it would cover her, and you could easily wash it away. So she's like, oh, do you know what I mean? So we literally started that, didn't we? And then we introduced, like, paints and bits and pieces like that. As we're now, she loves it.
Wow.
Yeah. And gardening as well. She loves a bit of gardening. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she's getting into the gardening. We got a wheelbarrow yesterday. Kid-sized wheelbarrow. Yeah.
So is she strong enough to pull up the weeds yet?
Well, no, we've just got turf, so there's no weeds. Oh, we don't do weeding, no. No, we planted some sunflower seeds. And so we're having a sunflower plant competition this year. So
the beach and the garden. So she's an outdoors girl.
Oh, she loves it. So she puts her wellies on. We've got a dog. So we've had a dog a couple of months now. So she puts her wellies on. She's like, dog, walk? And you're like, oh, okay, go on then. So we're constantly out walking the dog. But yeah, she loves it. She likes being out. We live right near like a big open field with like a little stream. So we just go out there, walking around.
Look for the troll.
And the troll's under the bridge, yeah?
Yeah, there's a little like bridge that goes over the stream. As we sort of tell her that if we walk loud enough, then she'd wake up the troll. So she thinks the troll is under the bridge. A nice troll. Not like to scare her after sleep. But
is that like the ones you put on the top pencils? You know, they've got holes. the bums where you put
them. Colourful on the telly, yeah.
At Centre Parks, we were at Centre Parks a couple of weeks ago. That's where the whole troll thing started from, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Has she got that from like a storytelling that you've done, or?
Oh, we was just messing around because to get to the swimming pool and that, you had to go over a little bridge, and to distract her from something. I can't even think what it was. She was about to have a paddy about something, so to distract her, we was trying to stomp across the bridge to wake the troll up. And I think that's
what's her favourite movie?
Moana.
And how many times have you seen that now?
I haven't got enough fingers and toes, and even a bar of the old neighbourhood, so I'm not gonna be able to count it. But she's recently just picked up the whole Frozen thing.
Oh, just recently?
Yeah, recently. So she's like, Elsa? Elsa? You know? Okay.
It's the songs, though, isn't it? She sort of stands up and dances to the songs. Yeah. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what she loves.
Have you got her the outfits?
No.
Hey.
Have you got the outfits?
No.
So when she's in bed, one of you doesn't dress up as Elsa?
But more to the point, you should get the outfit, Steph. She just called you Elsa.
She did, and I do have the Elsa outfit in my wardrobe.
I love it. She can say your name, but then when we asked her who you were, she thought, it's Elsa.
Yeah. And I'm in jeans as well, so it's not even close, is it? Maybe it's the hair.
Might be.
Thank you so much anyway, catching up, and we'll be back with you after she's gone past 2 years old, which is quite scary now that we've been following you for over 2 years, because I think you were still pregnant, weren't you, when we started following you originally?
I think we were, yeah. I think that's when it all started, wasn't it? Mm. So yeah.
She wants more water in the pen.
Do you want some more water in here?
Hello, Harriet. Are you going to say hello?
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Who's this? Who is it?
Say hi.
Say hi.
What's this one? You're more spread in there.
Yeah, she's not saying much today. As soon as you put a microphone in front of her, she just clams up. Anyway, Shan, Sam, thank you so much.
That's all right. Thank you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
That's our OMI and our cheerleader. Might all bop along in the studio, that one. So. Ooh,
yes, OMI. I wonder what it stands for, OMI.
Don't know.
My... intellect. Because they're very clever, because they've made a lot of money.
You are very clever, Mitch.
I am very clever.
Brilliant.
I've got a Ma.
You've got a Ma?
I've got a Ma.
Oh, Mitchie, hi.
I've got a Ma.
You've got a Ma?
Yeah.
What's Masters of Art.
Yeah.
Masters. Yeah, yeah. Masters yeah. of Art. The arts, yeah.
The Masters of the Arts. Thank you very much.
Masters of the Universe.
That's yes. slightly different, yeah.
She
Yeah. Terry was Flash Gordon in the previous life, weren't you, mate?
Ming the Merciless. Ming the Merciless. Much rather be.
It's now, that laugh.
We're talking books in this section, aren't we? We've never really done this before. And we've had a few people talking about, you know, could we talk about LGBT plus books?
Yes,
and the like.
So
we've got top 10, is that right?
We've got a top 10, which is very kindly prepared for us by News From Nowhere up in Liverpool, which is the Radical and Community bookshop with a huge LGBT section. And Kate and Maria and Mandy up there prepared us the top 10 of the top selling LGBT books. If you want to visit their website, incidentally, we'll put it on ours, but it's newsfromnowhere.org.uk, and they do mail order all over the country if you're in an area where you don't have a local LGBT friendly bookstore. Now, number 10, coming in at number 10, we should really have the On Top of the Pops, is Trans Britain, Our Journey from the Shadows, edited by Christine Burns. Now, this book chronicles the journey of those who are there to witness a marginalised community grow into the visible phenomenon we recognise today. It has interviews in it with filmmakers, broadcasters, parents, actors, a rock musician and a priest, amongst many others. And I have seen this book for sale, and it's actually on my list of things I'd like to get. And Christine Burns was one of the founders of Press for Change, I think, which is one of the original trans lobby groups right back in the 90s when trans law reform was starting to come in. So
she's fairly busy.
Yeah, so that's that.
She is busy. Yeah, she did a book for Paris Lees, didn't she?
Did she?
Paris Lees wrote one, and I think she. And she's was she active. A co-writer?
I don't know. There was NHS books as well. She did work on that as well.
Yeah.
Just
really prolific writer, yes. Yeah. So that's number 10. Number 9,
da-da-da.
Pearl Power and the Girl with Two Dads by Mel Elliott. This is for younger people. Matilda is a new girl at Pearl School, and there's something really different and cool about her family. Laugh along as Pearl struggles to come to terms with how annoyingly normal this new family actually are. Pearl Power and the Girl with Two Dads is a funny and heartwarming tale of same-sex parenting and accepting the idea of different family setups to your traditional one mum and one dad.
Perfect. Number 8.
We Go Round in the Night and Are Consumed by Fire by Jules Grant. Now, this one sounds absolutely fantastic. Lesbian gangster and street poet Donna runs the all-female Bronte Close Gang. Carla, a single parent and part-time MC, is her closest friend and trusted second-in-command. Together, they carve out an empire in the toughest streets of Manchester. But when Carla is gunned down, everything changes. So it's a bit serious.
Drama. Oh, I don't know.
Crime, bit of lesbian bit of, crime
bit
drama.
Bit of lesbian crime drama. It's an alternate reality as well.
Do you know that, incidentally, apparently I was told this by a guy who worked at Gays the Word down in London, which is another gay-friendly bookshop, that women actually buy crime fiction much more than men. It's a real market. People like Val McDermid, of course, who is lesbian.
Yeah. And also you had Anne Bannion, didn't you? She did all those, you know, she walks the different path and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, all those posters that you see with these sort of like 50s, you know, secret lesbian, like, you know, crime drama things.
It's a big, big market out there. So that's the way, if you want to make some money writing books, it's lesbian crime drama.
Yeah.
Go the Way Your Blood Beats is in at number 7. That's Michael Amherst. Using bisexuality as a frame, Go the Way Your Blood Beats questions the division of sexuality into straight and gay in a timely exploration of the complex histories and psychologies of human desire. It's a part essay, part memoir. Go the Way Your Blood Beats asks us to see desire and sexuality as analogous with art, a mysterious creative force. So that's very Freudian. We're at University bisexual. Number 6, Forbidden Lives, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgender Stories from Wales by Noreena Shopland. This is a fascinating collection of portraits and discussions that aim to populate LGBT gaps in the history of Wales, a much neglected part of Welsh heritage. Shopland also identifies the Welsh connections to the exploration of homosexuality and transgenderism during the 20th century.
Well, we've seen the movie Pride, haven't we?
Because that's in the Welsh village.
Yeah. Gay support the minors was quite a big turning point in equality in this country,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Labour Party. Yeah, and it got the Labour Party and the trade union movement to take LGBT rights seriously.
Do you know my favourite moment in that movie is when the minibus arrives and she shouts out, "Your gays have arrived!"
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
Oh, great. So number five,
Insomniac City, New York, All Over Me by Bill Hayes. This is a moving celebration of what Bill Hayes calls the eavesdropped and the unexpected of life in New York and an intimate glimpse of his relationship with the late Oliver Sacks. A tender portrait of Sacks at his most personal and endearing, from falling in love for the first time at age 75 to facing illness and death. Insomniac City is both a meditation on grief and a celebration of life.
Aww.
So that's nice. Mm-hmm. Now, before me and Mitch were talking about this, Audre Lorde, who lived from 1934 to 1992, she was a great essayist and person of colour, lesbian of colour, and a cancer survivor as well. And Your Silence Will Not Protect You, Essays and Poems collection is in at number four. She described herself as black, lesbian, mother, warrior and poet. She had a first poem published while still at school, and she died of cancer in 1992. Her extraordinary belief in the power of language to foster selfhood and bring about change in the world remains as transformative today as it was then, and no less urgent. And very true.
Yeah, very
that
true.
Is as well at the moment.
She's a great writer. Oh, Lord.
Excuse me, coughing away. Number three, The Bible is an anthology of personal narratives,
play on words,
and essays about bisexuality by Lauren Nicodemus and Ellen Desmond. Now, bisexuals, it says, inhabit a liminal space between cultures, often misunderstood or dismissed by straight and LGBT communities alike. I should say LG and T communities alike.
Yeah.
We are the sexual identity most likely to be closeted, most at risk of mental illness, domestic violence and even heart disease. So this is an intersectional bi voice anthology, sharing stories and helping voices to be heard.
That's really interesting, because I think, you know, working with young people, they often say the bisexuality as part of the umbrella term is often invisible.
So I think that sometimes we know that ourselves, though. I mean, when we've run the Shout Out Listeners Awards, it's been one of the hardest categories to get people to even vote in, because we did like things like Best Event for Bi People, and we quite often ended up cancelling the category because there just weren't enough nominations for events that catered for
and
bi
of course
people.
You've got that other term now as well, pansexual, which is
Are
the two the same?
No, not really.
Pan. That can be dangerous as well, because some people like the term bi while they're still, you know,
pan. They're still pan.
Yeah, they kind of object to the difference.
But binary just means there's binary genders.
It's just giving you the two options of male and female rather than the spectrum. Complex spectrum that we know it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas pan is panoramic.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
You see someone, you're attracted to them, it's regardless of whether they have a different gender or same gender or transgender or sexuality.
I like the Doctor Who one where he's omnisexual.
Yeah, that's a bit pansexual, though, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You're talking about Captain Jack.
Yes. But that was because he also liked aliens, wasn't it?
Wouldn't say no to anything.
No, he was pretty much a slut.
I kind of liked him, though, you know.
Anyway, top two.
To My Trans Sisters by Charlie Craggs, an empowering, heartfelt collection of letters from celebrated trans women addressed to those trans women who are in the process of transitioning. That would be a really good gift for somebody, wouldn't it?
That would be really
each letter,
good.
Each letter offers honest advice from their own experience on everything from makeup and dating through to battling dysphoria and dealing with transphobia, which means...
Number one.
The current number one LGBT book, as nominated by News From Nowhere in Liverpool, is We're Queer and We Should Be Here, The Perils and Pleasures of Being a Gay Football Fan by Daryl Tells. He says his sexuality is important to him, as is his lifelong passion for Tottenham Hotspur. Yet, like other gay football supporters, Daryl's had to endure decades of abuse and threats from homophobic fellow fans in a sport where homosexuality is still so reviled that there is not a single out gay player in the top four tiers of the Football League. So, this is a story of his campaign against homophobia and his work with GFSN, which is the Gay Football Supporters Network. You can find online, who have chapters all over the country.
Yeah.
Anyone a football fan here?
What's football?
Oh,
apart from watching the shorts run around on the field.
Rugby's
Andy.
My favourite. Yeah, I like rugby.
I like watching a bit of rugby, actually. It's kind of
cool. There you go. Top 10. I'll tell you what, I'll ask you which one you would like to read the most. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Suffice to say, that is called Hasta Luego.
Ah, nice.
Oh, well pronounced.
That is by, I think it's supposed to be heavy, but it's HRVY and Malou Traveco, I believe. Traveco.
Traveco.
Something like that. If you say it in, sorry, my Spanish isn't great. I only did it for about 3 years at school.
Probably better than your English.
Well, something compared to yours. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, you're all Bristolian to me.
Indeed.
I'm sure we are.
Soft southerners we are. Soft southerners.
Now, out of those 10 books, which would you buy first?
Terry, you say.
Well, even though it was at number 10, at the bottom of the list, I like the idea of the Trans Britain.
Yeah.
Our Journey from the Shadows by Christine Burns. Because I love
you
to
said,
know...
I'm sure when you read it out, you said it was on your list to buy.
It's on my list of things to buy at some point. Yeah. I've seen it in several bookshops. Now, I like to know where we come from as a community and what the milestones are. And of course, you know, the trans community has travelled alongside my community as a gay man, if you see what I mean. But also the history is slightly different. There's different institutions, different pieces of legislation, and different social attitudes. Mm. So I want to find out more about that. So that's my nomination. Yeah.
And what about you, Mitch?
Oh, well, I would buy Pearl Power and The Girl with Two Dads for my children, for the kids. Yeah. but they're actually interested in Go the Way Your Blood Beats by Michael Amherst. So
what number was that?
That was number seven. So that one there, the division of sexuality into straight and gay. So I think that's very complex. Like we were just touching on that as well, how complex that is. And I'd like to find out a little bit about what somebody, you know, what he's going to say about that. Sounds interesting.
It does. I think out of all of them, I would go with Terra's choice.
Yeah.
Number 10, that sounds interesting. And number 2 as well attracts me. It's almost like comparing notes.
Yeah,
it's part of my trans
sister. To see what my journey was compared to others' journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about building solidarity and community, isn't it?
It is. And it's like, you know, dependent on where you are in the process, you can still read it and probably gain some, you know, support or knowledge from it. So
I get the impression, like you were saying, it could be a very helpful book if, like, you're a friend or a parent of someone who's trying to transition and going through that whole process. It could be quite beneficial to read other people's experiences about it.
I think so.
What about you, Tara?
Well, I think I'd go for Your Silence Will Not Protect You, Essays in Poems by Wendy Lord. I think there'll be some really beautiful stuff in
there. Great writer.
Especially
great writer
with the poetry as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can read that time and time again.
You can, and her poetry is really, you know, timeless, like you say.
And that's intersectionality as well. Mm. All that kind of stuff's in there, you know.
Yeah.
About power. Really, really important role model, Audre Lorde.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I agree. She'll be taught in schools much more than she is, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with Pearl Power. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Seeing as no one picks it as their first. I really, when you were reading it out, I was like, that sounds really cool. So, the one about the girl with two dads, wasn't it? Matilda. Number 9 in our chart. So.
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
Getting broody.
So it's quite cool. We don't very often touch on things, do we? But do we?
No, we will revisit that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea, actually, to review.
We'll get them to supply another top 10.
Yeah, and once again, thanks to News From Nowhere, which is Liverpool's community bookshop, available at newsfromnowhere.org.uk. They do mail order.
Excellent.
So, I'm terrible. I don't read much at all, I have to admit. Carl, my other half, he's a real bookworm. He just liked books. So we got Val McDermid on our shelves. He's read quite a few of hers.
Yeah, she's great.
So we have interviewed her on the show as well.
I remember that some years ago. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, she was very nice to talk to as well. It was really, really good interview, as I recall. So, yes. But am I like alone? Do you all read books a lot?
Well, I always have a book on.
Yeah, yeah, I've got one on. I've got Philip Pullman, Book of Shadows at the moment.
What's your all-time favourite?
Well, it might have to be Mole Cut Purse by Ellen Gulford, because I really like the way she writes. She's a lesbian fiction writer from London with the Jewish background, but so it comes through in her books, this humour and, you know, culture and stuff. So
I guess my all-time favourite is Laurie Leigh's Sided with Rosie.
Mm. That's a sweet journey, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's set in the West Country, Stroud, isn't it? Somerset.
Yeah. Is it? I kind of like it when there's a connection when it's like local as well. Anyway, that's it for this week. As always, thank you very much for listening to us across all 8 stations that we're on.
And for a podcast, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we catch up with singer and songwriter Jess Kemp.
And the latest M5 from Brickstone.
M5, my 5.
Oh, it's my 5. Five. M5. Yeah. I'm stuck on motorway, that's what it is. I'm still stuck on motorway.
So, but from myself, Tara, Steph, Mitch and Terry, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Cheers, bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.